if you want to be loved, you have to tell people how to love you, because they can't read your mind. And we all have different love languages, and we think it's only in romantic relationships, but it's also in platonic relationships, whether it's friendships, your family, everything. Not everyone knows how to love you, and sometimes everyone around you are trying to love you and you're just not paying attention because they're not loving you the way you're used to being loved.
Good day, mate.
Hello, Governor. How are you doing?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Welcome to Straight Candid Podcast, where we're from Wales, and we have you here.
Happy to have you. Was that good? I thought it was good.
No, it was not. That was not good at all.
Okay. Happy to have you.
Fuck, I'm so
Where are you from?
Wales. I can't do it.
God, you can't. Much. You just can't.
I wonder if we have anyone listening from London or wherever, and they're like,
"We do." I've seen it on the charts.
Yeah, and yeah. They're like, "Wow, that they're like they nice. Actually sucked. They actually sucked."
I don't know how actresses do or actors. Sorry, excuse me. Sorry, I forgot about the boys. Like practice accents and can do them in movies as if they've been from that place forever. I'm like, holy crap, that's pretty talented.
No idea.
Not gonna lie. But that's not the point of why we're talking right now.
Hey.
We have a very short intro because we have to get into the goodies, the good stuff. We have Violet Benson on the pod from our LA trip in the Two Hot Takes studio. And we're very excited about this episode because it ended in some tears.
It did not ended.
It ended midway.
I think it was maybe. like maybe 75% of the way through. Like it was so deep, but like so meaningful. And it was this conversation that actually sparked a lot of my goals this summer with my own family and what has been involved in all my therapy sessions since this podcast. It has been talking about this exact conversation and how to progress the relationship with my dad actually. And funny, cause Father's Day was yesterday. Yep. So, I'm actually going over there after this to have a little dinner.
Oh, you are today?
It's a belated Father's Day.
Happy belated Father's Day. All the daddies out there, by the way.
Speaking of daddies, like Violet Benson is the owner, the creator of Daddy Issues. If you've seen that account on Instagram, if you haven't, go look it up right now to see the success of it. Also maybe creep on Violet Benson because she's freaking hot, but she created Daddy Issues. And she was kind of the one who was behind this Instagram account, best known for running or Russian-born American comedian.
Yep. She also has the Almost Adulting podcast, which is why we wanted to have her on. We know her, like, I think the most from there, because now her like meme account is mostly memes slash her. But I mean, she was so intelligent, but to the point and factual and hilarious, and like talking about men and relationships with men, and also the relationships with men that we don't, you know, that are not sexual, like parents and brothers and, you know, whatever. And I feel like we just learned a lot and we had a lot of fun and it had a little happy tears and it had a little like playfulness to it. And we also just like, shoot the shit. What do you call it? Isn't that what you say after with her a little bit? And like, we have connections to Minnesota. It was just really, really fun. We respect her so much and her freaking hustle, cause she's a badass.
My favorite part was you have to go to the YouTube to watch this one because she shows up. She's like, these are pajamas, but she's like, I think I'm gonna wear it as an outfit. We're like, yeah. And then she's like, do you have a mirror? She like quick does her makeup. We're like gossiping. She's like concealing. And she's like, okay, I'm ready. Like, we're like, I don't know. It was just like a funny vibe. I just felt really comfortable with her immediately. Yeah. And it was definitely out of the LA guests. This was, I think, my top one because I feel like I got a lot out of it as well. Even though she was coming on the podcast, I was like, is this a therapy session?
She was one of my tops for sure. Absolutely.
Amazing. So you guys will love this conversation.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it, hon.
You're going to love it, hon. So please let us know what you think. And without further ado, let's bring on Violet Benson.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Violet Benson.
Hi.
Hi, Violet.
We're so excited that you're here, by
the way. Thank you so much for having me.
We look up to you. Like Morgan, we
Seriously.
Look up to you.
Mm-hmm. Like you, Morgan?
Like Morgan over here. Like
she can do it all.
Oh, you guys can both do
Morgan
it all.
Morgan looks up to me? Wow.
She definitely does.
Secretly.
Secret. Okay. It's a secret. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
You look great in pink, I'll tell you that. If you guys aren't on video right now, you better be on video because she looks stunning.
It's giving like Legally Blonde.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I love.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys going to introduce me?
Yes.
Okay, well, sorry. I didn't tell you how to do your podcast.
We usually add a little mini intro, so technically we already introduced you.
I feel like I'm paying more attention now because I've gone on other podcasts, and mm-hmm. I sometimes read the comments, and sometimes people be like, I don't know who this person is. I wish the host would introduce the person, and it made me more self-aware that to always remember to do it too.
That's absolutely awesome. So we did do a little intro prior, but if you were to give yourself a little, you know, bio for people listening, what would you say? Who are you?
That's a good question. I ask myself that a lot. But when I'm not asking myself that question, I am Violetta Benson. Violetta. Russian. My Wikipedia would say Russian, Israeli, American born, unless I took out the Israeli part for some reason. I own a meme account called Daddy Issues _. I've been doing it for, I think, 8 to 9 years. I also have it trademarked. And I also run a podcast called Almost Adulting, which is about lifestyle, mental health. I'm known for my solo episodes, and I also sometimes have guests on as well. Every month we have a new topic, and we are bi-weekly, Tuesdays and Thursdays, available everywhere.
You're amazing.
What's your current topic right now with the podcast?
Well, I don't know when this episode comes out, but in May, currently when we're recording in May, it's mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah.
I've listened to the one. What was it? Situationships was before, but.
Yep. Oh my God, that's so nice. It just happened. Yeah. So for this week, I did solo episodes. So on Tuesday are my short episodes, they're mm-hmm. the fun ones where I give advice. So I gave advice to this one girl. Oh my gosh.
Wait, what? Her
question was hilarious. I wish I had my phone to pull it up, but it was basically some stuff about. Okay, let me remember. She said, I don't know what to do. Can you help me? I was talking to this guy for 2 years, and he wouldn't commit to me.
Oh God.
So it's like, okay, all right, babe, come on.
Yeah.
Two years. But anyway, I was talking for 2 years. He wouldn't commit to me. Then I found out that it's because he has a wife, and that's why he hasn't committed to me. So you think she'd be like, realize, you know, what's going on. Then she said something about, I thought he would leave her for me. Then he didn't. He decided to work on himself instead. So then I decided to tell his wife that I've been with him for 2 years. So now they're getting a divorce, or they got divorced. While they're getting a divorce, or after they got a divorce, he still didn't want to be with me because he said, listen, I'm working on myself right now and I'm still finding myself. And I just feel like I just can't give you what you need. I encourage you to go out there to date. Like, I don't want you to wait for me because I don't know when I'll be ready. But when the time comes, I would love to obviously explore this if you're around. And obviously, like, I'm not here to chase you. Literally, that's what he said. I'm not here to chase you. But if you're around and down, then maybe we can explore this again. And then she goes, and honestly, after all of this, I still think he's like a good guy and he's just going through a lot. No. And like, I just need to know. And I'm like, okay, first of all, you were with him for 2 years. He wouldn't commit. Red flag. As
a mistress. That's already a deal breaker.
He has a wife.
Deal breaker.
Like, not only are you not his main chick, you're literally just a fantasy. Like, he goes to you for a fantasy. Like, he had a whole other life. Like, already red flag. You're the other girl. Like, and I'm like, first of all, when women do this, what do you think is going to happen to you? You think you guys are going to get married? Let's say you guys get married. What do you think is going to happen to you in a couple of years?
The exact same thing. He's going to go off and find a mistress too because he wants to feel the fantasy again.
How you get him is how you lose him.
Oh, I like that.
Duh.
Shit. It's so funny you're mentioning this because I can't wait for the end of this episode because I'm pretty sure we have a very similar listener writing question.
Wait, you're going to love
it.
So
funny that you brought this up.
You're going to love it.
Yeah. I love it.
So then they get a divorce. Now he's free to date her. He still doesn't want you.
No.
Not only does he not want you with his actions, he's telling you,
yep,
I want you to go out there and date other people. That's not playing games. He's literally telling you, go out there. I still want to work on myself. So that means I'm continuously putting myself first, mm-hmm, while you're putting me first for whatever reason. Then he tells her, then, you know, when I'm ready, if I'm ready, if I can't find anything better, I may come back. When I come back, I'm not trying to fight for you. So if you're around, you're available, then maybe. Like, oh, come on. And so I told her, listen, you tried. All jokes aside, you tried. But when we're chasing people, we always think once we get them, then it means something or whatever. We think that they're in control, but we don't realize that actually we're in control. Because at any moment, I can stop. I can stop fantasizing. I can stop chasing. Obsessing. And I can just stop. Mm-hmm. and I can start over with someone else. If you have so much love to give, imagine how amazing it would be if you can give it to someone who would actually appreciate it.
Oh shit, I love that. God, you're so good.
I love how we just start with this advice.
I know, because I'm like, God, that lands home. But there are people out there that are still like obsessing over a side lover or somebody who's not giving them attention or time of day. And it's like, dude.
It's easier to give advice than it is when you're in the situation, because you think, well, my situation is different.
Oh, classic. Mm-hmm.
Or even people that are in their 20s where they're like, well, I've been dating him for 4 years. I can't end it now because I'm afraid of, you know, we were going to get married and I can't start over again. It's like,
you can.
How, like, you can date until you're 40. Like, you can date until you're 60. You can date until you're 90 years old.
It is scary. I was with somebody for most of my 20s, so I completely understand. I think, like I said, it's easier to give advice, but I think one thing that I've learned this whole year that I've been saying frequently on my podcast recently is the whole thing of giving ourselves grace, because I think we speak the worst to ourselves than anyone else. The way we talk to ourselves, a best friend would never speak that way to us. A best friend, and we would never speak like that to our best friend. Mm-hmm. And the way we put ourselves down is insane. We have to give ourselves grace. And you can't look back and think, oh, it's not fair that I wasted all this time on this person, or it's not fair that why was I so stupid to stay with this person, blah, blah, blah. You did what you did because you didn't know any better until you learned, until you knew better. And I think sometimes we have to go through these trials and tribulations until finally it's you're finally ready. You're not going to be ready to see what you need to see until you're ready to see it. So I don't look back and regret that I stayed with a cheating boyfriend for so many years, because apparently I just was too stubborn, and that's the lessons that I needed.
It's always the obsession of like, I wasted time, and it's like, well, actually you didn't, because you probably wouldn't have listened if you go back in time and told yourself the information you know now, because you were in it. You don't see what you don't see. You know what I mean?
Or like, he used me, or he did this, like that person used me, blah, blah. Why are you putting that mindset where you're victimizing yourself? Because it's going to be harder for you to move on, because now you're the victim in the situation, versus like, you know what? I got what I needed from that. They got what they needed from that. It's time for me to move on. Mm-hmm. I can stop.
Mm-hmm. God dang, it's the why too that people obsess over too. They're like, I can't move on until I understand the why. Why did he cheat on me? Why didn't he fight for me? Why did he stab me in the back? It's like, you're never gonna understand the why. If you keep searching for it, you're gonna keep obsessing. And the minute you stop obsessing is the minute you start moving on and doing different things. So you are full of advice.
I know, I can't wait to get into this.
I
know,
now I'm like, oh my God, we still have a few more weeks of May, Mental Health Month, so I'm excited to listen to the rest of those. I'm like, yay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So you did mention daddy issues, so I know you've probably explained this story before, but I am so curious about why you started daddy issues in the first place.
We love this story.
And what kind of, how it came about. We do love this story.
Okay, so with daddy issues, I started it because I have daddy issues. I grew up with daddy issues. I didn't really grow up with my father. So my parents are together, but his job, he would be away for 3 months at a time and be back home for a month. So we only saw each other 4 months of the year growing up until I was 14 when we moved to the US. So we didn't really have a relationship. And my dad's way to show me love as an adult, now I can look back and understand that, was by giving me a roof over my head and food to feed me and give me the opportunity to have education. Basically, he was giving me what his father, who was a drunk, a cheater, and all that, wasn't able to give to him. Mm-hmm. So he was going out of his way to show me love that he didn't get growing up.
Yeah.
Me as a child, obviously, I'm not aware that that's my father showing me love. So my love languages that I needed was to be hugged or to hear that he's proud of me or that he loves me. And I didn't get that growing up because, unfortunately, he didn't grow up with it, so he didn't know what that was. He was giving me love that he didn't get. And the funny thing is that our love languages, when we become adults, are what we didn't get as children.
Oh, yeah. I've heard this before.
Yes. So that means my father didn't get acts of service and gifts growing up, because they were dirt poor. And I'm not talking about American poor, I'm talking about communism dirt poor. Yeah. Communism dirt poor means that you literally have to get on a list. And when they make all the jokes in Russians that they're starving there and there's no food or whatever, it's because when you're in communism, in other countries there's communism, even if you have money to buy milk or bread or whatever, you get on a list. So even if there's on the shelf and you see it and you have the dollar to buy it, you can't buy it until the other five people ahead of you buy it. So until they get it, you're starving. And when it comes to living situations, the same thing. You have to sign up for everything because it's community. So when they shared an apartment with other families, it wasn't an apartment. All the families would get rooms. So you get a room and then each family is in the corners. So my dad and his mom and dad would be in one corner and there's three other families. They're sharing a room.
Oh my God. Like, in one room.
That's poor communism.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. And then his father died when my dad was like 17 or 18. So anyway, that was the love language he didn't get. And that's the love language he gave to me. My love language now as an adult is touch and words of affirmation because mm-hmm. it's what I didn't get growing up. But anyway, so when I was born in Russia, we moved to Israel. When I was 14, we won the green card lottery and we moved to the U.S.
A green card lottery?
Yeah, can you explain that?
Well, it's I don't want to get too deep into yeah. it, but it's basically in foreign countries you can apply and you can be one of the lucky people every year who gets to win the green card.
Wow.
You and your family, immediate family, and you go through loads of interviews. You have to spend a good amount of money and they have to also do a bunch of physicals on you. It's a whole process to make sure that A, you're not bringing any diseases to the U.S. Mm-hmm. They want to make sure that you're not coming to the U.S. to be on welfare or food stamps. They really just want to make it so you have to have enough money in the bank for a whole year. And luckily in Israel we had a good amount of money, so it worked out that we were able to make the move. So not everyone is even if you win the lottery, you may not be lucky enough to pass through all the tests. And then when you have a green card, 5 years later, you can become a citizen.
Mm. Oh, wow. So then this was at 14. You yes. came over to the U.S. with your family.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
so then amazing. Around 18, 19, I became a citizen in the U.S. So that was cool. So yeah, we moved to the U.S. and my dad lost most of our money. So I grew up in America pretty poor, and it was the first time my dad and I were living together and we were not getting along. We were just always fighting. I didn't like to be home. I didn't like to be around him. So anyway, my dad was trying to focus really hard on me to have an education. I was just doing the opposite of it. I was so bad in school. But the point is, eventually I started taking school seriously. I got 2 degrees. I graduated university when I was 20 because my dad made me. And I have degrees in accounting and business law.
So you graduated 2 years early with a double major?
A year early because I skipped kindergarten. So I graduated, which is so silly. So I graduated high school when I was 17. So 3 years.
Okay. But still very impressive.
But that's only because my older sister was doing the same thing and she went to UC. So I kind of constantly had to follow her footsteps because she was just better than me at everything. You know, siblings. And actually, my whole family, they all have masters except me.
Oh my God. Which is a smart family.
Yeah, I didn't finish my master because I
think you're doing pretty amazing things. Yeah. I'm like, you're a little bit busy.
Yeah, but you never know. I am thinking of getting actually my PhD in psychology. That's always in the back of my head. So I'm thinking of having a master's. But anyway, so I pursued accounting and I was working at a large public accounting firm, which I think I know other podcasters who are in the finance and accounting world, which is so funny, or from it. But yeah, so I was working at a public accounting firm during that time, and I really wanted to be partner. That was my goal, and I did everything I could to try to do that. I was following all the rules. I was doing everything I needed to do. And for whatever reason, the women on my team just didn't like me, and they were making my life miserable, and I was being bullied. And when I say bullied, it's not in a way where I want anyone to feel sorry for me or that I'm a victim. But when I say bullied, like, it's serious bullying where HR was constantly involved in it, where they literally couldn't even fire me if they wanted to because I would be able to sue them. I mean, part of the reason I'm on Adderall now is because my career advisor, which is one of the managers there, advised me to get a medication to tone down my personality because every 3 months in public accounting firms, large ones or large law firms, they basically review your work capacity, your work ethics. I mean, yeah, how many hours you log in, but then they also review your personality. There's these like exams or reviews every 3 to 6 months. Jeez. So if I'm too hyper, if I'm being awkward or whatever, that's going to be reviewed. So they recommended that I was too hyper or too happy, whatever it was. So I actually, just to make them happy, because I was so desperate to be liked, hence my daddy issues already here. So I got an Adderall and I still take it. So I love it, but I would say probably
but like also having your job tell you that you kind of needed it is a little bit.
Yeah, that's like, part of that's one of the thousand reasons why HR was involved. So yeah, they're not legally allowed to do that. Anyway, they were making my life so miserable. The women on my team, they were gossiping about me, starting rumors. They were taking away hours from me. So it was kind of obvious where I was constantly, because you get on probation if you don't bill enough hours monthly. So I was constantly getting on probation. And I kind of told me, okay, great. I'm never going to get the promotion that I want. I'm never going to get raises. Like, I'm never going to be able to rise up here. And I slowly started to give up, to the point that I would cry in my car every morning before I start work. And then I'd be like, okay, whatever. This is the American dream. This is, my dad taught me that this is it. Like, you become an adult and you're miserable. Life is not always going to be fun. You know, we're Russian, we're strong, I can get through it. And I didn't have any social media at that time, but people kept sending me texts of the fat Jewish memes. And I was just thinking, because when I was in high school, I won class clown.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but I forgot what it's like to have fun, to be funny, or to have a personality at this point. I just didn't even know who I am, because I kept getting knocked down. And growing up, I was born with a birth defect. So growing up, I was being bullied for my looks, for being ugly or not cute. So I was always a very awkward child. And then as an adult, I started slowly kind of growing into my looks, even though I still didn't see that in the mirror. Other people saw something different. So in my workplace, I was getting bullied now for being cute.
Oh my gosh.
And for me, it was such a frustration, because it felt, at that point my whole life, I'm just constantly, people are constantly noticing my looks, whether they like them or not. And for me, I was always trying to showcase either my personality or how hard I work. Mm-hmm. And it's just, these people never cared. So when I was getting all these memes, I thought, wow, how cool would it be for people to just appreciate your personality and who you are versus focusing on your looks.
Wow.
And that's how I created a meme account that was anonymous called Daddy Issues. I didn't even think twice about the name. Mm-hmm. Thank God, because I'm such an overthinker.
Uh-huh.
So I would have probably had the dumbest name.
No, but now you've got the perfect name. You got name.
Trademarked?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So I created Daddy Issues. It was anonymous for close to 2 years. And I was just doing it secretly. And it became my obsession. It was my escape from reality. It was my escape from a very low place in my life. And when I created Daddy Issues, it was my alter ego. And I was writing about her, because I never thought I could be this cool girl. And I know it's just memes, but I created a whole persona. And I got to, every time I would be posting memes, and because I figure out, like, who is this girl that's posting these memes that are so relatable? Because I don't know who I am at this point. Like, these people broke me enough that I'm just so lost. I have no personality. I'm dead inside. And I'm always crying. I'm depressed. I stopped having friends. Like, I would just go home every night at 9 p.m. and I would just cry myself to sleep. So now I created this meme account. And every night I would go home. And now I would give myself an hour to 2 hours to focus on my account and how to grow it. Like, different marketing strategies and things like that. So I would just give myself a little homework to grow that account. And that became my new little obsession. And I wrote about her. And this girl, she was so cool. She was this girl that I could never be like her. She was popular. I felt invisible. And she was someone that would never be invisible. Like, she walked in a room, like, everyone knew who she is. You know, everyone noticed her. All the boys liked her. I never even noticed if guys liked me. I didn't even talk to boys. So all the guys liked her. She was invited to all the cool parties. She was rich. I grew up poor. So she was rich. She was doing all the drugs. Everyone loved her. She dressed cool. And she just got out of rehab when she created the meme account.
Okay.
Her dad's British. Her mom's American.
Wow.
When she was 3 years old, her dad had this issue where he was constantly falling into other women's vaginas.
Oh wow, I hate when you fall in.
Yeah. So they left England and moved to New York.
Did you write all this on the account somewhere? No, just in your head?
I wrote in my on Word documents.
So you knew exactly how to portray her. Okay.
It was like a creation of a brand. I know Daddy Issues is a brand, obviously, always has been, always will be, but you had a persona that you could follow.
Well, it was the only way that it would make sense when I would post it, because I think I was able to post not my face, so no one's judging me, it's anonymous. So right away I think it worked out well for me, because right away anyone that was just tagging their friends in memes, and this is back when memes became like a thing and it was like the it thing,
it's early social media, like it's like you hit it like right when
I wouldn't it was say like I hit it, because there's so many other meme accounts. I got lucky in a sense that I figured out how to be relatable, but it was because it was anonymous that every girl that was tagging her friends in these memes, she would imagine me looking like her instead of anyone focusing on my looks. And and I don't think I would have been able to do it with my looks out there, because then I would feel too scared to post certain things and be judged and I don't know who I am. But when I wrote about this girl, I would log into Instagram and I'm right away in my brain, this girl.
Did she have a name?
Okay, so here's the thing. My full name, my old full name, I used to go by Violetta Cohen with a K. That's my real last name. When I was writing about her, I gave her the name Violet. So I gave her my first name, and then I Googled top 10 most popular British last names. Benson was like the top 5. So I said, okay, her dad's British. Her last name's Benson. So her name's Violet Benson. That's her name. And that made sense to me. And that became her name. So that's, and obviously now that is my name.
How did you gain the confidence to come out and be like, yeah, this anonymous meme account called Daddy Issues is actually me, which is a different name technically. Like this is a persona, but I'm now that persona basically.
By the time I came out with my identity, which was a whole thing with MTV, I already legalized the name. I became her. Nice. Because my dad asked me to protect the privacy of my family, and also my dad asked me, just because my dad has such a bad upbringing as a Jew in Russia, that he is so traumatized from it, because like his father got beat up to death. His father got sent to jail for being a Jew with a business when my dad was younger. And then when my dad was 17 or 18, his father got beat up to death by one of the prisoner guards for being a Jew. So, and my dad's brown skin, very Jewish looking. He looks, you know, he's a brown Jew. He's exactly what people would bully. You know, him and I look so different. I look more like my mom. So for my dad, he had such a bad upbringing as a Jew compared to my mom, who looks more like me, that he's so traumatized that he was scared that if people knew my last name, I would get death threats for being a Jew. And I was like, Dad, this is a different time. We're also in the U.S. Things have changed. And he's like, no, please.
He was so instilled in fear that he couldn't help but require that. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the time, also before I showed my identity, there was already so many articles about me that I couldn't even go back to my regular name. But as for quote unquote coming out and feeling confident, is the way I was able to find myself for the first time in my life where I felt meets. And I think most people who are from other countries or immigrants, I can't speak for everyone else, but I think for me, in my opinion, when you're an immigrant or you live in a new country, you never feel, I think this is for immigrants or people who are mixed, half and half. For whatever reason, you just never feel like you fit in anywhere. So it's that constantly not be knowing your identity, you know, because in Russia, I'm a Jew, so I'm not Russian to Russians. In Israel, I'm a Russian, I'm not Israeli. In America, I'm an immigrant. And me and my parents, we all had accents. I had a pretty thick accent when I moved here. I can't relate to American kids. It's a little different, especially you move to Los Angeles. So, and then I never feel like I fit in, and I never really understood myself. And I was always constantly more of a follower. And when I created this anonymous account, I was able to, I've always said this, where the followers of Daddy Issues created me and they gave me my identity. And it was like, and they gave me this acceptance I was constantly looking for. And thanks to the followers of Daddy Issues, it was the first time in my life that I felt like I fit in, which was so amazing and so beautiful. And I will forever be thankful for, you know, it feels so silly. It feels silly thinking about it, just a meme account, but it wasn't just a meme account to me. It saved me from being depressed. It gave me a whole new meaning to my life. It was the first time that I felt like I found meaning because of the followers. And, you know, so slowly when I continue posting this as my alter ego, I start to become my alter ego. Right. I start to feel more confident in my skin. I start to care less what other people think because of the people following my account, who every time I posted something, they'd be like, oh my God, that's so me. And I'm like, okay, so I'm not the only one that feels this way. That's crazy.
So
okay.
Empowering.
How many followers did you have when you came out? Was it like already at 5 million like right away? Or how
Well,
did you?
Well, no.
Okay, yeah.
I have 5 million right now.
Yeah. 5.4, I think.
Okay,
5.4.
Okay.
We're like, we looked.
I think when I know when I quit my job, I was still less than a million. That so I close. Know. I think I was at maybe 8,000. I was at 8 or 9 months of doing this when I quit my job, and I figured out a way to make money for the rest of the year.
Okay.
By doing a marketing plan with a brand in order to quit my job because I didn't have wealthy parents to pay my rent.
Yep. Not many people do.
No.
I want to feel know like how, it always feels like you do, but
I want to know how you grew it. Like, if you was it just organic, or did you have to like really work on the algorithm and really dive into it?
Well, I think things are much different now with social media. So I think everything I did in the past, I wouldn't be able to do it now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was coming up with various marketing strategies in my brain to figure out just, and luckily I was so obsessive and that was I had no friends. Like that was the only thing I had going for me. I don't know how to explain it, but, mm-hmm. and I never thought it would mean anything. And I think, okay, sometimes I get DMs, like I think yesterday or 2 days ago, I got a DM from this girl. And she goes, hey, I really want to be famous. And I just feel like if you gave me a shout out, I would really appreciate it. And I would be thankful when I do become famous. Can you please help me? And I clicked on her profile to see what she's trying to be famous for. And it was just pictures of her. Mm. So I go, okay, that's really interesting. And I think that's the problem, where a lot of people now just want to be famous to be famous. Mm. But there's nothing behind it. Is it for your sense of humor? Is it for your art? Is it for your acting? What are you? And it's just, oh no, I just want the fans. And I think that's where a lot of people do it wrong. And that's where, when it doesn't work out, you can't just want to have fans. You have to figure out,
what are you providing?
What your niche is.
Yeah. So when I created I created, I was never sitting there and thinking about myself. It was more my escape, and I was enjoying it, and it was for everyone else. So it was just growing organically because I was staying true to myself. So I think when anyone wants to grow anything, as long as they're true to themselves and they're passionate about whatever they're creating. And yes, of course, people can say, okay, you were just taking memes. But in the beginning, I was creating all my memes. And I was also, what I was known for was the captions under the memes.
You're a great writer. You're a great writer.
Thank you.
You are. Seriously. I mean, I went to journalism school too. And
well, you did. We all did, right?
I didn't do journalism. Oh,
I thought you did journalism for some reason. Mm-hmm. Well, I did journalism school too. Well, and I'm like, cool. It's very admirable the way you write too. It's creative. Aww. It's unique. That's seriously. Really nice. And you. Also, like, I know you keep alluding to, you're like, well, it's just it's just a meme account. It's a freaking badass, huge meme account. But mm-hmm. then you turned it into a podcast that mm-hmm. is one of the largest, brand. If not the largest, mental health podcast.
Yes,
I'm pretty positive. You. Yeah. Nice. And a brand and all of these things. Like, how the heck did you go about translating all of that, the meme, to where it is now?
I think it takes time. I think it's constantly, one thing that's really important in anything that you do in your life, especially if you're a creative person, you will get bored. Or sometimes you have goals and you end up hitting the goals and you think, now what? And you get depressed. It's crazy how sometimes you're so eager to get to your goal and you don't enjoy the in between. Only once you hit the goal, you're just, what do I do with my life?
Hustler mentality. It's never enough, right?
Yeah, you end up being really bored. You end up being depressed. You know, it's really bad. That's why they always tell you to enjoy the journey. And I'm always saying, well, fuck you. What do you even know about that?
Yeah. Like,
oh, I'm not going to enjoy the journey. I need to get there.
I'm getting there tomorrow. Damn
yeah,
it.
And you get to the destination and you got like, okay, this. It's kind of like when you're, well, no, orgasms are different. Cause
I like, no, I like those.
Yeah.
I like getting to the end of the journey.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I prefer it. Wait, what was the question?
Just how did you take a meme account? Like, you know, kind of, right. You know, making
so
fun.
So I constantly reinvent myself. Because I'm constantly in different stages of my life. When I started Daddy Issues, I had alter ego. Then eventually I became her. I became Viola Benson. Then I've outgrown her. When I have outgrown her, it didn't feel authentic to me anymore. Daddy Issues Now again is my alter ego because I've had time to work on myself. But Daddy Issues is one of the reasons that my whole family now, we have such a good family dynamic. I was able to heal. I mean, I think for the rest of your life, you're constantly healing yourself. But I was able to unlearn generational trauma, and I was able to heal generational trauma. And Daddy Issues not only did give me the followers, helped me figure out who I am while I was helping other people, but I was able through them work on my relationship with my father. And him and I now have a real relationship, and a good one, what I consider a good one. Obviously everyone has different definitions of what they consider close,
of course.
As Russians, I consider us close. When we talk every couple of days, that's close for me. And usually I talk more to my mom. I love her to death. She's my best friend. But it's all because of Daddy Issues. So you're constantly reinventing yourself. So when now Daddy Issues be my alter ego, because I've grown since this person. I don't make those mistakes that Daddy Issues makes now. I don't have those insecurities. I don't chase boys. I've outgrown him. I'm in my 30s now. And that's where my podcast came from. I think every time I've created something that I've been very proud of, it's based on the current stage that I'm in my life. I created Daddy Issues because I felt lost and I was making jokes off of my trauma or things that made me feel uncomfortable. And that's what helped me heal and helped others heal, humor. Mm-hmm. And then I moved on to my podcast because I started being so curious about love languages and understanding, because I mean, dating was very hard for me in my 20s with my boyfriend. There were so many times I wanted to, I mean, it's hard for people to grasp if they had touch growing up, but I would, because people don't realize when you have daddy issues or mommy issues, ends up being in your life where the first boy, quote unquote, to break my heart was my father, which is a weird concept. But even when I have boyfriends, I would sometimes, I remember I would sit there and I'll look at my boyfriend, I'd be dying to hug him, to kiss him and to be loving. And I didn't know how because I didn't grow up with that.
Yeah.
So I'd just be looking at him and just imagine in my head, and then be too scared to do it because of the rejection.
Yeah, I've had similar issues with this. I didn't even know. I mean, even taking it a step further, like initiating sex is probably the scariest, most uncomfortable thing for me because I don't understand.
Didn't do it with your dad.
Well, I didn't do it with my dad. Sorry. Not really. No, I'm kidding. But it's like, even just like to look, and that was really good. I'm not going to lie. Even just to look be like, like you said, like, how would I even go about kissing this person? I don't even know how to like make this. How do I show you that I love you? Yeah. Because I didn't know. And I'm like, what if they don't show that back? Or like, you're waiting for it, and then it doesn't happen immediately, you know, like let down.
I mean, I want to ask you because I feel like I have a very similar type of tough love with my father, and I'm definitely like a mommy's girl, but I feel like I have little daddy issues, and it's something that I've been kind of prioritizing this year is like working on that relationship. So if you have any tips or advice for me, but also listeners about like how to start healing this generational trauma with your parents in this family dynamic.
I think we tend to a lot of times either be afraid of rejection, or we get in our ego, and our ego is one of our worst enemies, which is ourselves and our ego, because my father and I had all this time, and then my ego would say, well, it's not fair. Why do I need to make the first move? Why do I need to do the first step?
He's the dad.
Yeah. He's the adult. He's the parent. Mm-hmm. It's only when you get older that you realize your parents are not superheroes and they're not invincible. And they don't know what they're doing. Just like now you're in your 30s and you don't know what you're doing. You never really figure it out. So you have to remove your ego, and you have to accept that maybe I'll get rejected, but at least I tried. So with my father, I knew, okay, I want to show, I know that my dad loves me. I think about it now. I learned love languages and I realized, you know what? My dad did try to show me that he loved me. I just didn't know any better. Because obviously I'm a kid, so how would I know that he was showing me love? But I can still show my dad. I forgot which moment it was, but it was this moment that I was, because I hated him. And I was just thinking about, would I be okay if my dad died tomorrow and I didn't get to tell him like that I loved him, or that I was always so bitter towards him because he just didn't give me the love that I need as a child. And I'm like, no, I wouldn't be okay with the fact that if he was gone tomorrow, that he didn't know that I loved him. Mm-hmm. So I decided, you know what? I want him to know that I love him. And it's okay if he doesn't love me back or if he doesn't say back. Mm-hmm. I'm going to now accept the thing that I'm about to get rejected. But my daddy issues family has helped me heal enough at this point where I'm not afraid of being rejected anymore because I love myself enough. Yeah. So I stopped being scared of being rejected by my dad. And I told myself, I'm going to start telling him that I love him. And that's, I think, the important part is where if you want to be loved, you have to tell people how to love you because they can't read your mind. And we all have different love languages. And we think it's only in romantic relationships, but it's also in platonic relationships, whether it's friendships, your family, everything. Not everyone knows how to love you. And sometimes everyone around you are trying to love you and you're just not paying attention, you know, because they're not loving you the way you're used to being loved. So if you want other people to love you the way you want to be loved, then you have to show them. And you can show them by giving them the love that you want to receive back. And I recently gave this advice to one of my girlfriends who's in her 40s and she has a bad relationship with her mom. And the reason I bring up mom, just in case anyone out there has mommy issues.
Yeah.
And she said, my mom's a narcissist. It's always about her. She's never asking about me. She's never telling me good job. Like, that's all I need to hear. My love language is words of affirmation. And all she does is just talk about herself. She never tells me she's proud of me. Something like that. She's always about her. And I said, what's your end goal? What do you want from your mom? And she said, I just wanted to tell me that she's proud of me. And like, for once, tell me that I'm doing good. And I go, okay, do you ever tell her that she's doing good? She goes, well, no. I mean, it's not fair. Why? What do I need to do that? I mean, because she's going to go, well, you said she's always talking about herself. And she goes, yeah. So I'm like, so you're being petty. You purposely don't tell her she's doing good either. She goes, yeah. And I go, okay, so you guys are both just right now like this. Totally. So what's your end goal here? Well, I'm like, do you want to have a good relationship with your mom? She goes, yes. And I go, okay, so right now your end goal, your words and your actions not aligning. If you want to have a good relationship with your mom, if you want words of affirmation from her, if you want her to tell you that you're proud of her, show her how you want to be loved by doing it to her. And I said, please, just try this. For the next 3 times you guys are on the phone, when she talks about herself, instead of being annoyed with her, why don't you tell her, wow, mom, that's amazing. Wow, you're so strong. I'm so proud of you. That's so impressive. Tell me more about it.
Oh my God,
that's so silly. And I go, just try it.
She's probably just like biting her tongue. She's like, okay, here we go.
She did it with her mom. Because guess what? I bet you her mom actually wanted to hear it as well. Yeah, I bet her mom wasn't giving her the pep talk because she wasn't getting it from her daughter. Because her mom was just as human as her. She tried 2 times on a phone. And guess what happened? After the second time, she said, wow, mom, I'm so proud of you. You're doing really great. Her mom goes, wait, I'm so sorry. Enough about me. Wait, what about you? Tell me about you. And then she started complimenting her daughter, being like, wow, I'm so proud of you. Wow, you got another book deal. That's amazing.
I'm telling you, if you don't make change,
I'm getting teary eyed because this is honestly like the best advice I've gotten in a long time.
Awesome.
I know. That's just so
it is.
Nice.
It's, you don't, I always say this to my friends too. They say, if you don't want to regret something, say what you want to say and do what you want to see change for, because you will regret not doing anything and things will stay the same. Like if you just stay in stagnant, I really don't think that you're going to be happy with the outcome.
Well, I don't think we think about that when someone's not loving us the way we want them to love us. We don't think about either A, asking for how we want to be loved, or it doesn't cross our mind to show them, because we just think, well, they should know. And I thought that was amazing with her mother. And then even with my sister during the pandemic, we were best friends. It was the first time we were not getting along. We fought. And I never really talk about my family things in that light. I keep that to myself. But I remember she called me, you're such a narcissist. You're so vain. You're so shallow. Yeah, you're so shallow. And you don't care about me. And I was so confused because I kept telling her how amazing she's doing, how pretty she is. Mm-hmm. I would always tell her how good she looks, and I would always tell her how proud I am of things she's doing because I was showing her love. And then she called me vain for that because I'm focusing on her looks.
Oh, I see.
And I don't care about her. And I was going to get defensive back until I took a step back and I said, wait, why does my sister not feel loved by me? I keep trying to show her that I love her. Why is she not accepting it? And I said, wait, what if her love languages are not mine? And that's when I found out that like the love languages are not just about dating, they're platonic as well. And I realized, and I said, Karen, oh, I can say her name, whatever. I said, Karen, what can you just figure out what your love languages are?
Yep.
And then when she looked it up, she did the test and she found out her love languages were touch and quality time.
So you're complimenting, but you weren't spending as much time together because it was pandemic.
Exactly. So I'm not, so she's not having eye contact with me. Uh-huh. She's not having personal time with me. So she's already feeling unloved. And when she's texting me, for me, texting was in the back of, because I'm always on my phone, I didn't really care about that. So I would forget sometimes to text her. Mm-hmm. And then when I have a chance, I'd be like, oh shit, hey, I just saw you did this. So proud of you. You're so pretty, blah, blah. And she'd be like, what the fuck is this shit? Yeah, like you're so vain. You're so shallow. You don't care about me. And once I realized that, and you know, I didn't mind being the bigger person, even though she's my older sister.
Man.
Because it's, who cares? Oh my gosh, we could die tomorrow. Yeah. Like, who cares? So, and even, and let's say she didn't bite what I was giving her. That's fine. Then at least I tried. And that's why I'm now in life. At least you try. But then I realized how she needed to be loved. And then I made sure that I always have notifications from her in text. Oh, like smart. And even though it makes me anxious, text messages, now I respond immediately because I wanted to feel loved. And then I told her how I want to be loved.
My sister and I had a similar situation. Is your sister younger?
Older.
Older. My sister's younger. And I'm like, I feel like, and she's listening for sure at this right now. And I feel she's like she was, yeah, she's our intern. She felt hurt because I wasn't responding to her, but I'm the same way. Texts make me really anxious. Like responding to people and staying in contact makes me really anxious. But she's like, why do you have time for everybody else except for me? And she's quality Aww. Time. And that's the same thing. And we both have things from our parents, right? And I just needed to lean into that. And now we're better than we ever have been. She wants to work with us. Like it's a whole different relationship. But I had to take a step back, like you said, and understand the love language. What was I not seeing? What was I missing from the conversation in the relationship?
Sorry.
Oh, no. You go.
And I think with my sister, I was feeling unloved by her in my own way as well, because I would tell her things I'm doing and I wouldn't hear her say, oh my God, that's so cool, blah, blah, blah. And I remember I was like, well, you don't care about me. Mm-hmm. And I suddenly felt competitive because in my brain, I was thinking like, we get it. You're so much better than me. You're so much smarter, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, I had to grow up with this, you being better with everything. Of course, she's not going to compliment me because she's not taking me seriously. And I remember a lot of our fights, I was projecting and I'm thinking, oh, okay. So you just think my job is not as important as yours because she's an attorney. And and that's where we'd be bicker. And she also didn't understand where I was coming from until one day I realized, oh, I'm projecting. I'm insecure about that. I think I'm not good enough. I'm still comparing myself to my sister. I'm still living like we're in our teenage years. Yeah. Like we're still in high school.
Isn't it funny how we think like, okay, like it's just our family. Like we can get, it's not going to bother me that deep. Like it's my sister. It's a fight. It's my dad. It's a little, we don't see eye to eye. Like I can get over it, but it's like the love from your family is just so, you don't even know how much you need it.
It hurts
until you don't have it, and then it affects like the rest of your life. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It affects like how you show up in relationships.
Speaking of, I want to talk about that too, because you are literally like the expert, I feel like, in talking about relationships and saying how it is, right?
Thank you.
And learning about love languages and relationships is just as important.
Do you feel better? Like, is that good advice for you?
Yeah, I was going to say, it was very helpful because it makes me like, the reason why I got emotional is because I'm thinking of like telling my dad on the phone that I'm proud of him. And I was like, I don't think I've ever said that to my dad.
Aww.
You know, like I've never said that to my dad. And it's also interesting that it's to a male who probably doesn't get to hear that often. And I know for a fact he didn't hear that growing up. I know he didn't hear that growing up. Like you know, it's generational trauma. Like he grew up with pretty strict, like tough love parents. And I'm kind of relating with your story because he gave me, you know, he paid for my college. He's shown me, he's loved me with a lot of, you know, I feel very privileged, but it's like, but why can't you say it, you know? So yeah. I'm going to try that. And like, that's why I was emotional because I was like, I've never heard this advice.
You have to be okay with the fact that it may not work on the first
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Totally. I remember on
work in progress.
It took my dad a year to even get there where we'd be on the phone and I'd be like, wait, dad, I love you. Mm-hmm. Silence. First, he would hang up every time. Then I'd be like, I love you. Silence. Hang
rejection.
Up. Then eventually, I love you. Me too. hang up. Oh. And then one day, I love you too. Now my dad's like, I'm so proud of you. I love you so much. Aww. But you know, as you're talking about this, it made me realize, when was the last time I told my dad that I love him or that I'm proud of him?
I'm working on that. Because he's
always telling me now that he's proud of me. I never say that to him.
Listeners are going to get this is like one of my favorite conversations I've had in a long time. So
it's so special too.
Thanks for checking. Appreciate that.
Okay, making sure she's okay. I'm working on that with my dad too right now. I'm saying I love you and he always says bye. And I'm just going to keep feeding it, adding it into the convo, right? Like that's all I can do. That's all the effort I can make, right?
Yeah.
Doing it and just doing and speaking what I think he needs too. So
this is eventually huge. If you're not getting it back, you can literally just say that. You can literally just say, hey, I love you so much. It would make me feel so happy if he just said it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do that. When you walked in, we were talking about relationships. And you said something extremely interesting about somebody being obsessed with giving love, but it not mattering that person, right? Like you were in a situation where this was very apparent. And I feel like this is something I've heard about through friends, relationships, and listener write-ins. And I just want you to explain that situation again to us on the mic.
I think the reason I was able to spot that situation, A, because I've been there. We've all been there where you love so much. You love the idea of being in love. You love the idea of having love that sometimes you don't even care who's in front of you. Mm-hmm. You'll just give it to anyone because you just want to get it back. And a lot of times we don't realize that that's what we're doing. And we think the person in front of us is so special when in reality, it could be anyone in front of us. They're not that special. And when I walked in, we were talking about a situation that I was in a year ago, 2 years ago, I forget, a couple of years ago. And I just stopped dating someone and I started talking to someone new. And it was fun and it was new. We'd never met yet. It was literally, we're talking, chatting in texts. Maybe for a week or 2 weeks, And he was coming on very strong. And I started to notice things where he would just say very lovey-dovey things. And me personally, I think everyone's very different. For me, I don't say words. I mean, now I'm definitely more of a flirt, I would say. I've grown to be more of a flirt where
it's fun.
I think back then I used to be such a literal person that if someone tells me they love me, I think they mean it. Just like if someone says, you're my sweetheart, my honey, or I miss you, or I can't wait to see you, I assume they mean it.
You assumed good intent though with people and old relationships.
Yeah, but I was a very literal person. Now I understand that just sometimes it's flirting and it's not that deep or it's not that serious. And now I'm also kind of a flirt at times. That's what they call the whole love bombing.
Oh yeah.
I probably love bomb without realizing because I just say words that I feel, but I wasn't like that in the past. So he started to say a lot of these words of how much he can't wait to kiss me, can't wait to hold my hand. Oh my God, I wouldn't be able to get through this day without thinking about your face. And I want to kiss you, I want to touch your lips and things like that, which sound really sweet. But it got to a point that I started to notice a pattern where I was like, oh, I've seen this before. That used to be me. Okay, I remember this after I worked myself though, but this is coming on too strong. And I was like, wait, V, stop. This isn't real. Because I was like, before I fall into this and believe it, maybe this might not be real. And if he's saying this so fast to me after a week, I know it's impossible because we don't actually have an emotional connection. We've never even met each other. So I had to kind of talk to myself because I've been in these situations where I date someone like that. I believe them. The first thing that I do that pisses them off or saves them, they leave me. And then they find someone else within a week. And then they're suddenly, you know, practically married within a week. And then that's when you realize, oh, that person just jumps from one person to another. And they just love more than they love the person in front of them. So because I've already been in that situation, I kind of was able to catch it this time. So I said, hey, listen, I don't think we're a good match. And he got really upset. And he was like, can we get on the phone? Where is this coming from? I don't get it, blah, blah, blah. We got on the phone. We talked about it. And then he made this one comment that broke my heart because I feel for him. But I thought it was a very interesting sentence that he said. He said, it's not fair. I just feel like I have so much love to give and I just want to give it to someone. And I said, that's what it is, to someone. That means it can literally be anyone. Like, I'm not even here. Babe, you're not focusing on me. Like, it's not that you want to give me love because you don't know me. You don't actually like me. You're not actually heartbroken over me saying we should stop. You would literally just want to give it to anyone because you want to get that love back instead of, may I recommend you just trying to give that love first to yourself? Because in the end, it would have been unfair to me. Because what happens when people do these type of things, and by the way, it's not their fault. They just don't know any better. They just need to work on themselves. But it's that it's a fantasy. They look at you and you're a fantasy to them. You're not a real person. And then when you do one thing to break the fantasy because you don't have a real emotional connection, that's why they take a step back and they go, ugh, I don't like this. Now I don't actually want to go through a real, you know, relationship issues. This is, you're breaking my fantasy. I don't need this. And then they find someone new to have a fantasy with.
Yep.
And that's when you end up standing there so heartbroken because you go, I don't get it. The person said, I loved you after a week. I thought they meant it. No, how would they mean it? They don't know you. Yeah, they love the idea of you. They don't love you.
What was his sign?
Ugh, the worst one.
What is it?
Cancer.
Oh, girl, I'm a Cancer.
They're just so emotional.
They are emotional.
What's
though?
Your sign?
Scorpio.
Oh, so shit.
Is that usually incompatible or no?
It's incredibly compatible.
It's
very compatible.
Oh.
It's actually very compatible.
I was assuming you were saying really? The opposite.
No, but it seems that I struggle to date Cancers for some reason. But I think maybe it's because obviously. Take this with a grain of salt. You are your own person. I doubt every person born on a specific day is exactly like that. But they do say you have loads of other zodiac signs in your chart.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think, in my opinion, my other zodiac signs overpower my water sign.
Okay.
And I think maybe that's why I struggle to date other water signs. Except, I mean, I like Pisces.
That's what I'm dating. That's what I'm dating right now. I'm dating a Pisces.
Are you a Cancer?
I'm an Aries. So I'm a fire.
Are those good?
And he's a water.
We want to learn a little bit more about this horoscope compatibility and incompatibility.
Yeah.
It can be either bad or it can be good, right? Uh-oh, you're scaring me.
I want to hear.
Actually, I don't recall if it's Aries and Pisces or Aries and Cancer, but one of those two, it literally says it's the worst two signs to date, that it's basically, I forget if it's a Cancer or Pisces, that they say, If you're just a masochist and you just want to torture yourself, then date an Aries. But I don't recall if it's for a Pisces or a Cancer.
I think it is a Pisces because I'm pretty sure I've read that before.
It could be a Cancer, though. I think it may be a Cancer.
But my rising sign is a Virgo. So I have a little bit of Virgo in me, and I think that's why we're compatible.
Well, actually, so in my opinion, rising doesn't mean that much. And some people who are very into astrology disagree. And for them, it means a lot. I believe that because your rising is a mask you put on when you meet new people. Oh, and as you get older, you stop caring about putting on a mask. While your moon sign is your real emotions behind closed doors. So I believe you become like your moon when you're older. Other people think your rising means the world and everything.
Yeah.
So, for example, my rising is in my first house and it's Libra, and my Venus is also my first house, which is Libra. So I think maybe that's why I love to dress up like this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like a lover girl always because of my Libra shining through. But they say that whatever your rising is, there's your adjacent descendant or something. I forget what the wording for it.
Yeah.
But it's the opposite sign. So that means I'm constantly been drawn to Aries people. Because it's the opposite, like my rising is Libra. So the opposite of that is Aries. So if your rising is Virgo, that means your perfect match would be, what's the opposite of Virgo? Is it Cancer?
I can't think. If you're wondering and you're listening right now, download CoStar. That's what I use usually.
Pisces when is the 12th sign here. Yeah.
Okay. So that means I was talking previously about Cancer and Aries. So Pisces and Aries are not actually meant to go well, but because of your rising, that's where you're drawn to Pisces.
I will say, that's sweet. I don't know. That's
what
really
about,
cool.
Can you try? This is over my head. I'm not going to lie. Like, I got a little confused during that, but I know my boyfriend is a Scorpio.
Okay.
And I'm a Cancer.
Yeah, you guys are very compatible. That's like one of your best matches.
Yeah, it is.
I knew it.
I believe, in my opinion, that a Cancer woman with a Scorpio man are way better match than a Scorpio woman with a Cancer guy.
Ooh.
Because I think I overpower the Cancer guys.
I can see that.
Because sometimes
I think I overpower too with I'm Cancer.
With other Cancers?
I don't know. I've never dated a Cancer.
So how would you know?
Good point. I just feel like I'm a very, like, I got opinions, you know?
Cancer women all have opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, cancer is a good sign. Don't get me wrong. I think I just, for me, for some reason, I just always feel like I'm drowning in their emotions.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could definitely see that. I feel like, though, as a Scorpio and Aries, too, like, you're so fiery and I'm quick
my
to
Mars
attack
is in
and,
Aries.
Oh.
So, and that Mars is how you fuck, how you do your work, and how you, your anger. So I'm going to sneeze.
Well, that's right.
Bless you. Wow. Okay. Well, this is all.
Which means that you're very assertive and competitive in nature.
And I love to chase. And I say I'm impulsive as well. I feel like my Mars is very in my personality where I do, then I think. So that's why I'd rather just jump into things. So that's your Mars. I think everyone always thinks I'm a Leo because I love just to be, you know, a walk out into a room and I'm just like, look at me. And most of my friends, plenty of my friends are fire signs. I get along the best with fire signs.
That's interesting.
But it's because you have this one sign, I forgot the name of it, but it determines where you are in your career. And many people who are in entertainment, that sign for them falls under Leo, which is why they love the attention and end up being in entertainment.
Wow. Okay. And that's where mine's it falls Leo. For you.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's interesting.
So you guys should look this it up.
Cool. I was going to say.
That's not on CoStar. That's a different, that one you can actually find on.
Is it a website?
Yeah.
Cafe Astrology.
I'm going to look mine up after
okay.
this.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You are? I know. Yeah. I was going to say.
I think Cafe Astrology.
Okay. I have my co-star. I look at it like all the time.
No, it's the other one. It's the one that.
Here, let me look it up.
It's. Can I have my phone? I'll tell you right now.
Astrology apps.
Is it an app or is it just a website?
Time Passages, CoStar, Sanctuary.
I'll tell you. Oh, by the way, my guy already responded.
He did?
Yeah. Oh, I knew that he would respond by the time.
We had some drama before the episode.
That's why it's so good when, because I'm, like I said, an impulsive person. I think about things afterwards. And
same.
Like in Aries in general, you get angry and you get over it 2 seconds later. So when I'm in my brain, I will accidentally shoot 50,000 texts, or I would just say exactly what I'm thinking, and then afterwards I go, I'm like, oh shit, I should have done that.
Same. Sid and I are both like that, and we're a business partner, so it's cute.
I accidentally attack and then I'm like, oh sorry.
Me.
I'm like, and I'm technically, I really am soft. Like,
yeah.
But if once you tick me off, I'm gonna fucking attack, and then I'm like, and then I go sit and I'm like, oh shit.
Hey, I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
sorry,
so that's why sometimes it's good when you literally put your phone away. Oh. There's all these times where I broke up with guys and afterwards I was like, am I getting my period tomorrow? Shit.
Well, my boyfriend now knows when I'm getting my period. He's like, babe, he's like, let's just take a step back.
Look at the world today.
Look at the time of the month right now. Aww. Let's just like take a breath. You usually want to break up with me around this time. Sit That's down. Funny. Take a deep breath.
It's called the pattern.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think it's really insanely cool that your boyfriend's a Pisces and your rising Virgo. Like, I can't even believe that I figured, like, that's cool.
I know. I'm like, well, I'm going to say you're good. You're good.
You're good, girl.
We have a little candid cues game that I want to play with you.
Candid questions. Let's go.
Yes. Wait, where are we on time? I feel like I overtalked.
We have just this game and then we're done.
Where are we at? It was an hour?
We're chilling.
Oh,
we'll probably have to have you back. I'm not gonna lie to you because we have so many things that we didn't get to, but that's okay. It's good.
We'll
conversation.
Do the quick game. It's just like quick fire questions. Okay.
Okay. Ready?
Go.
Candid questions to get a little vulnerable.
Okay. Don't read them though.
We'll not read them when you
obviously.
I know.
Okay.
All right.
Am I reading it?
Yeah, you're reading it alone.
Oh my god! I was so scared it was fully cursive because I can't read cursive.
I can't either.
Really?
Uh-uh.
Swear that makes to God. Me feel so much better.
My mom gets mad, though. She writes my cards in cursive, and I have to go hand them back to her.
Are you kidding?
I'm foreign. What's your excuse?
Yeah, Sid.
My mom's French.
Okay, fair.
So that's something, right? Yeah.
So because of that, you could... Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's no. very, like, she's you didn't learn cursive smooth and beautiful.
Did you not learn cursive?
No, I did. I just don't remember it. Okay. I don't know.
That makes me feel so much better, because I was just like, no, my God, I'm about to feel humiliated that I can't
my
read
my L's
it.
Are just curly. Other than that, I think you should be able to.
Okay. If money didn't exist, what would you do and where would you go? If money didn't exist?
Yeah. Didn't have to work.
Didn't have to worry about money.
Do anything.
At all.
I think I would still want to work.
That's up to you.
I would have a PhD in psychology.
Where would you be?
Wow. I guess I really dream small. I would be like in the US, in LA. I don't know how to.
I love that you're living your best life.
That's not dreaming small, babe. No. That's literally doing what you love.
Well, I guess I would like to go on vacation.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I think I would get bored so easily. You know what's crazy? I bet you if tomorrow, okay, it's one thing if we were born without money not existing, all that, then of course, who knows what we'd do. But if we're already so used to this habit of this lifestyle, it would be very hard for us to break this habit. So we would first all probably try to go on vacation or, you know, have loads of sex with a bunch of people, but then you get bored and you're like, and then you end up, we'll probably subconsciously end up going back to a regular life without realizing, even though money didn't exist.
Whoa, that's a hot take right
that
there.
That is a hot take.
I love that.
Also, I love that you said PhD in psychology, because I just have to say this. I felt like I had a therapy session. So
thank you. Well, I read a lot about these things when I'm just a naturally very curious person. Yeah. And it's because I don't have social cues, and it was hard for me to constantly understand people, that I wanted to learn to better understand. And the way my brain works is everything through logic, that I struggle feeling my feelings in the moment, and my feelings are always delayed. So knowing those are my issues, instead of feeling like a victim for it, I start studying it. So then I can sometimes learn how to be more my body.
Yeah.
Or to also give other people the opportunity to, you know, I don't want to close the door on people so easily.
Yeah. I love that. That's beautiful though.
Yeah. Thank you. So all the advice I give is from the psychology books that I've read, the TED Talks that I've listened to. It's not, I don't do this from just my thoughts and my own advice. Mm-hmm. Like I think the best way you can go in life is to never want to stop learning, whether it's education, how you're living your life, or about your partner. Mm-hmm. Like I think that's the best way to even maintain a relationship with your family and friends and lovers, is you never want to stop learning about them.
Even if money didn't exist. I love it.
Yeah.
Love next one.
Okay.
We'll do like a couple more.
Yeah, we'll do a few.
Okay, I'll keep them short, my answers.
No, you're so good. I love listening.
What song is on your sex playlist? What song is on your sex playlist? Actually, I was listening to one yesterday when I was moving around my songs, and it was 9 Inches.
Oh, wait,
am I saying it wrong?
That's long.
You let me penetrate you.
Get it. Wait, I can't think of the song.
Let me see. 9 Inches
is 9 nails. My insides.
Do you know the song? Morgan's like, I don't know it.
You're great at singing though, Violet.
Yeah, okay. Now I just know you lied about anything you told me.
Yeah, 9 Inches. You don't want to know.
No, I'm saying it wrong. Oh. Hold on. I'll tell you.
Wait. Is this it?
No. Hold on. I'll show you.
9 Inches.
Show me the 9 Inches.
Where the F is my
boyfriend
playlist.
Wanted to know how long his penis was the other day.
Oh, God.
And
because he's like, I have to be a grower, and I'm like, well, yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping that.
And he went to the bathroom and came out like 10 minutes later, and he was like, this many inches. I was like, oh my god. He like brought a tape measure.
No, he did not.
Yeah,
so you guys measured it together. So
no, I let him do it, because he goes, I was like I don't feel like that, so go to the bathroom and you can let me know.
Come back here and report back.
He was like, well,
so what is it?
I'm not gonna say it here.
Yeah, show that's me, the thing about penis size when it comes to your partner.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, sure. It's not that part.
I mean, until it gets big.
It's more about, you can't make comments like, oh, it's so small or whatever, regardless if it is or not, because then you're trashing your partner.
Yeah, that's horrible.
It's just weird. Why would you ever put down your partner?
Exactly.
To other people, why bother dating? Mm-hmm. Or if you say, yeah, my boyfriend's dick is so big, why would you do that either? Because now everyone knows that. Now everyone wants to fuck your boyfriend.
Also, now it sounds like, are you really just saying that? Like, why do you feel the need to say that?
Yeah, no,
really,
I would small. Think you if insecure? You say that. No, I think if you say that, then like if I had a friend that was like, my boyfriend, I'm not saying like, a friend, someone I wasn't close to.
Was like, you'd be like, okay,
this guy, wait a minute.
Let me go. This guy was hooking up with, his dick is so big, my ears were perking up. I'm paying attention. I'm listening.
You're like, wait a minute, say that again.
Tell me more about him.
Where is he right now?
Yeah, like, why would you tell me that? Now I want to date him.
Yep. Come on. I know, I literally did almost drop his inches, so thank God I like.
You can tell me after.
Thank God I filtered myself.
Did you find the song?
Here.
Okay, play a little tune.
This one?
This is on our sex playlist.
Oh, 9 Inch Nails.
Oh, 9 Inch Nails.
I just like that song, right?
Okay.
Let me get there.
It has a bump.
You guys know the song, right?
Wait until the lyrics.
Fast forward a little bit. Oh, I feel like it's about to get no, there. That's the band, girl.
Yala.
Oh.
Well, the beginning is good.
Yeah, I like that.
I like this song.
Is the band is Nine Inch Nails?
Yeah.
What's the actual song?
Closer. Yeah, let me give you a better song. Here's a better song.
You're like, no, that no.
I feel that was a good BPM, like a good BPM for a thrust.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I gotta do a little magic mic on the ground, like do a little.
Oh. But that doesn't make me feel sexy. Which one makes me feel sexy?
What about like Khalid? I love some Khalid. Oh, I love Khalid. My boyfriend likes Khalid.
I like.
Oh.
Oh, I mean, I have a sex playlist.
Oh, we got some good ones. Okay, next Candy Q. I feel like you're just going to have to share with the whole. Wait, no, because
I'm going to whole time. I'm just bouncing my butt just on the couch.
All right.
What does it say? My writing sucks.
I get nervous.
If you want, I can read it.
I can read it, too.
It's like.
Flip it. Let me see.
I can't.
Sophie, do it. I wrote it.
Let's see.
What worries you most at the moment?
Oh, that says worries. I thought it said women's.
What worries me most at the moment?
Besides the text you just received.
You know, earlier when we were talking about when you reach your goals, it's so, and when you don't enjoy the destination, you want something so bad. What worries me right now is that I'm experiencing that thing that we all experience, which is imposter syndrome. I really wanted this book deal. We're working, me and my agents. I wrote this proposal. The top publishers are interested. We're about to move forward. And instead of me being excited, I just keep getting more and more freaked out by every meeting that we're taking. Because I'm like, oh shit, now it's actually happening. Now I actually have to perform. Oh my God, what if I let them down? What if I'm not good enough? Oh my God, what if I don't know what I'm writing? Why would I even want to write this book? Like, oh my God, who do I think I am? And it's just all this, like I was so scared that no one's going to be interested. And now everyone, the people who need to be interested are all interested. And instead of being happy about it, I think that's my biggest worrisome where I'm not even enjoying this moment.
That's
I'm
where
like
the growth
freaked
happens.
Out.
Yep. That's where the growth happens. Enjoy. Yeah. You're going to do
Give
amazing.
Give yourself grace.
Give yourself grace.
I know,
grace.
And you're working on
you
it,
You say the advice, we just got to take it.
I know.
Okay, let's do last Candid Q. I hope it's a good one.
Okay.
Did you just read that one?
No, you think I can just read like that?
Like, you're like, wait a minute, I don't like that one.
Biggest regret from a next. Previous relationship.
Okay, next one. Okay.
We're staying with my ex for so long.
Yeah.
What? That one's silly. Have you ever been in love?
Yeah, we just talked about it.
Right, so. Next.
I don't think so.
Oh,
oh.
Have you ever had a sugar daddy? No, I wish.
Oh my.
I wish. I literally wish. When even people make comments, guys are like, why don't you have an OnlyFans? And like, because honestly, the thought of making men happy pisses me off. So I just can't.
Not going to lie, you can't be alone in that thought.
Yeah, no.
My daddy issues, I think, come from where, yeah, I can't, the thought of being submissive to men has been a struggle. I mean, I am more in my feminine era now, but it took me a while to get there. Okay.
Absolutely.
I wish I had a sugar daddy, though. Now I'm a little too old for that. Do you think there are cures for mental health issues? And how is your mental health really? Do I think there are cures for mental health issues? Yes.
Cures. Okay. Explain.
I think it's just working on yourself. I think we are so many of us, most of us actually, in first world countries at least, are so lucky where we get to live in our first world countries and we have all this time on our hands. And social media has made things worse where we just see highlight reels of everyone's best life.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And then we wake up one day and we're like, I don't feel 10 out of 10 happy. I must be depressed. Oh, I'm this and that. And then everyone thinks, well, if everyone says I'm depressed, is anyone actually depressed? Or are we just experiencing emotions? Or if everyone says, every single person I talk to, well, I battle with social anxiety, and depression. If everyone's battling with it, wouldn't that mean that's just normal? Like we're just being human beings. So I think there are cures to mental health issues when you're working on yourself. I'm not talking about when you actually have bipolar disorder and schizophrenia and all of those things. I'm talking about, and again, as someone who's diagnosed with depression and anxiety and all those things, for me, I've worked on attaching logic or attaching when you feel like out of body experience, you're like, okay, what am I currently touching physically with my hands? How you just little tips to yourself. And I think when you realize, when you stop thinking that anger, sadness, shame, regret, all of those are bad emotions, when you stop categorizing things, I think you'll be able to live a happier life. When you stop realizing the happiness is a destination, that is just part of life, to go through emotions like this, I think you will live an easier life. I think that's why there was actually research a long time ago where they did the research in the difference between poor neighborhood and a rich neighborhood, and about depression. And they found that more people were depressed in the rich neighborhoods than the poor neighborhoods. Wow. Are you telling me that rich people are just way more depressed than poor people because poor people have no problems? No, it was because the poor neighborhoods, these people, they didn't have time to sit around and think about their feelings and try to grade, where am I at right now? What color am I, my feelings are? Should I call my yoga teacher? Should I call my, I don't know, whatever other words people have, my life coach, you know, am I depressed? No, because I had to pay rent and they didn't have time. They're like, of course my life sucks right now. Of course I'm not happy because I'm trying to figure out how to support my family. So they didn't have time to think they're depressed. It was just, you know, sadness happens as part of life. Mm-hmm. Rich people had time to sit around because they're so fortunate in their life that they stopped appreciating what they have. And they sat around, they thought, oh, I must be depressed because I don't feel 10 out of 10. Oh, that girl is on a jet and I'm not on a jet yet. That's not fair. And now I'm angry. So I think it's all about, I'm not saying there's a real cure, but I think it's about understanding that emotions pass like a wave.
Absolutely.
We were just talking about this actually, like before you got here, is the exact moment where you think you're just gonna like stay home and kind of sit in your feelings and like kind of cry to yourself, which is understandable. Sometimes you need those self-care nights are the exact times where like you should try to go out with friends or something.
Move your body.
I agree. But I think I used to also do that, not listening to myself.
Yeah,
where I need, fine line. Where I'm antisocial and I'm more introvert, where I actually need to recharge. So I would force myself to go out only to then be not fun to be around.
Yeah.
And then I would feel guilty that I'm not fun to be around. And I'm trying not to ruin anyone's mood. And then I'm just a little resentful because I just want to go home. And I finally realized, like yesterday, I had a moment that I was sad. And I had dinner plans and I was feeling really bad about the, like, oh, fuck. And I was like, V, don't go for someone else. Then being half the company is not going to be fun for anyone. Mm-mm. So I canceled the dinner plans. I said, you know what? I feel sad right now. I'm just going to be in my feelings because that's what I need to do to process. So I give myself grace where I allow myself not to be sad because it's an emotion that passes. And at least when I'm sad, I can finally let those feelings out. You know, when you cry, you're actually releasing hormones and you're releasing stress. Like you're crying out the stress. Like you need to do that. So I felt sad. And then I took my little depression nap, my little sadness nap. Yep. And then I woke up, I went back to work and I felt better and I snapped out of it.
Yep.
But it's as long as you... I think we're really hard on ourselves as we get older because we think, I shouldn't feel like this anymore. Like, I should know better. No, you will continuously, through your whole life, will be working on your mental health and on yourself and growing. You will continuously still repeat patterns that you thought you outgrown. The way you know that you're growing as a person is what you do afterwards. Oh, shit. Okay, I repeated a pattern. Okay, now I'm self-aware enough. Now I noticed after 2 days instead of taking me 3 months. Of noticing that I'm sad.
Yes.
Because for me, I'm able to now catch faster when I'm hitting my sadness. And I'm able to catch myself faster before I sink into actual real depression.
Yep. Yeah. So I guess with burnout too.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Burning out. Yeah. Oh, I allow myself to just relax.
Yeah. Just take a breath. I love that. And don't avoid it as a bad feeling.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for being real.
Yeah, all the tips. Okay, we have one more listener write in. Sorry. We do Stray Canna Moments every single week.
Okay.
A listener writes in either embarrassing, a humbling story, and we will read it, and then we will get your where listeners can follow you, and we will...
Oddly, this is some relation to what we've already talked about.
It's so weird.
So just wait for a second here. Okay. I became the other woman. Hear me out. I matched with this guy on Hinge. Everything is flowing. We ended up FaceTiming to take it off the apps. And when I tell you this guy is like a love bomber, but in a good way, it was insane. I could tell right away, maybe this is a flag, but I'm also a hopeless romantic, so oh well. He legit said, I'm going to tell my grandma I found my future wife. Like, creepy, but also thought he was being kind of funny and cute. He told me he was a doctor and in the Navy, and he had lost his dad at a young age. Like, so open and honest with me right off the bat. Is this, like, love bombing, or is this guy just so nice, and I've been used to having the worst luck with men? My gut was telling me that he was a little too nice and too in love with me for this early on, but I stopped responding to him for a little less than a week, and he called me 6 times in a row. And I finally answered because I'm doubting my gut, because maybe he's nice, maybe I'm wrong. Grade A clinger, asking me why I wasn't talking to him and begging to let me see him. He wouldn't let it go. I say, okay, dinner tonight in a public place. This guy tells me he's going to go out. And I'm like, great, I'll just meet up with you then and meet up with your friends and we'll get this over with. He says, I probably won't be on my phone though. ? Okay, weird. So naturally, it's later. I call him and I decide to just see where this man is and get it over with, just meet him so I don't have to deal with this anymore. No answer. I'm over it. But I get a text from a random number. It's his girlfriend who is sleeping over at his house right now. He has his girl over. He's in fact not out on the town. He's on Hinge while in a relationship, and he's love bombing me. Come to find out, this man is married, lied about his dad dying. He is not a doctor or a nurse. He's not in the Navy. His wife and I are now great friends, and they are getting a divorce. My candid life.
Cute.
Wow, that took 75. Shit, sorry. That took 75 turns. Yeah, I was not expecting.
You're like, wait a minute. Hold on.
It went just all so over. Much information.
You have a girlfriend and a wife, or just the girlfriend was his wife? I was confused. No,
well, she said girlfriend first. That was a lot of information
because I saw a lot of red flags in her in the beginning.
I agree. That's she's just confusing. Letting it happen.
I think we need to be more careful with the words that we're using. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting a lot of our information on TikTok. And I think we call everyone a narcissist. Everyone's a narcissist. All my exes are narcissists. Did you know only 2% of people in the world are narcissists, diagnosed narcissists?
Well, not when you go on TikTok. Everybody's ex is a narcissist.
Which is still, you know, a good amount of number. It's a pretty large number still if it's 2% in the world. But a diagnosed narcissist, like, is someone a narcissist or they're not into you? Are they a love bomber, or did they just love the idea of being loved because they never got that love and they don't know how to express love? They're just so desperate to be loved.
Yep.
They're just, a lot of times when people say things to us or the way they act, show us love, it's not because they're trying to use you. Most of the time, they're not. 90% of the time, it's because they're so desperate to be loved that way that they're just showing it to you first.
Oh, yeah.
So all those, I sometimes remember I would date people and I would be like, I'm so proud of you. You're doing so good, blah, blah, because my dad never said that to me. And I would just be dying for that person to say back. I didn't know that's what was happening. I didn't know how to ask for it. So I would just say it first. And then I would get bitter and resentful when they weren't saying it back.
Oh my God.
Even though they had no idea that's what I wanted back. They feel like, oh, she's just being nice. And I'm not purposely saying it. I'm just saying. So, and then her, instead of communicating, then taking ghosting him for like a week, and then he's like, oh my God, so clingy, fine, I guess I'll meet up with him. Like, okay, do you want this, like, or not? I'm so confused.
I know, I saw that part as like a real flag, because then it's like, what's interesting though is you're waiting for everybody to get to the end and you're like, what a douchebag. It's like, well, actually she was acting really odd too. You didn't like him. Like, you didn't get burned, really. Like, you didn't really know each other.
And then what he told her about his life, and that makes him, that means that he's a, what was those,
like, I think, well, she said love bomber. Yeah.
Because he shared about his life.
And he wanted to tell her, or his grandma, about her.
I tell people, I've had sex with someone before and I said I love you during sex. Doesn't mean I meant it. It was just in the moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think people, that's what I mean, where now I got to learn that sometimes you're flirting and you're just like, oh, I make jokes like, I literally talk to guys on the first day and I'd be like, okay, so who's moving in, me or you? Imagine afterwards a guy was like, she was love bombing me. She was like already trying to move in with me.
Oh, relax. I'm
flirting.
Like, yeah, you're flirting. Yeah, I'm there's flirting. A difference.
And
yeah.
I feel there is a for sure difference. Although you just casually drop like, yeah, I said I love you during sex. What did he do?
He probably loved it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
He was into it. Okay, cool.
Why not? I'm right? dying. Why not? I love that take though. Yeah. I really do. Seriously.
But a great take.
The guy himself, she dodged a bullet. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the few red flags she was noticing. I'm saying, A, she has red flags about her. I would say she is emotionally unavailable and she needs to figure out why she's emotionally unavailable. I see the signs because she likes to pull and chase and all that. So she's, I'm not saying she accidentally purposely picked him, but I bet you there's a pattern, the type of men she's dating. this is being the pattern. I'm not saying they're all married, but there's a pattern here, because a lot of times we think we're dating emotionally unavailable people and we don't realize it's because we're emotionally unavailable.
Okay. Look at the mirror.
So I think she needs to figure out why she enjoys the chase and pull, because when you do the chase and pull, oh, okay, they're love and bumming me, feels good. Okay, I'm going to take a step back. Oh, no, they're chasing me. They're so annoying, even though I'm enjoying it. Oh, is it because I'm actually scared of getting close and being vulnerable? Wow. That's too much. Anyway, the point is that
she was right. He is toxic. Yeah.
Yes.
There was a lot of things wrong with him. So she was not wrong at all. I am happy that they're friends now and they bonded. And that is so scary. I genuinely believe everything people tell me. So I can't imagine dating some, like, I always think, why would they lie? Because I'm honest.
I'm gullible too.
It's so gullible.
But dating apps are scary.
I trust people. Like, that's the problem. It's like, oh, you said that. I thought that was true.
Right.
I'm like, I don't understand.
Why would someone lie?
And I don't assume the worst in people. So I feel like it's a better side to live on. I'd rather get burned a few times than be like watching my back every second somebody has something come out of their mouth. You know what I mean?
It is weird. Why did he... I don't even understand why he needed to say all those things. I like you so much if he had a partner. It's weird. I'm happy. That guy, it sucks. But I think the saddest part is when people really need to work on themselves and they drag all these other people into it instead of them just working on themselves. They look for all this love and validation from other people instead of looking within. And then here he is, like, almost, hopefully these two women can move on and work on themselves. But let's say if they weren't able to, or they're not, they don't have therapy or anything like that, then he could potentially make them jaded or ruin them all because this idiot never got to work on himself, never got to grow, and he ruined someone else. That sucks.
That's so shitty, and it happens a lot more than we even realize. You know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of people deal with that. Yeah. Thank you for taking that. That was like,
that was
a burner of a straight candy moment. I'm not going to lie. You're listening. Please know you dodged a bullet. We're not burning on you. We're not hating on you, but you've got some growing to do. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, obviously real recognizes real. Clearly I'm emotionally unavailable, or was, and that's why I can recognize it.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Violet. You're phenomenal. Like, in all ways, like, you can write well, you can create, you can speak, you can, like, you're like a multifaceted human being, seriously. And you're gorgeous.
Oh, okay. I'm so flattered. Thank you.
Can you let everybody know where they can find you across all things? You have so many things, so start plugging them.
Daddy Issues_for memes, Almost Adulting, my podcast, available on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube now. Tuesdays and Thursdays, new episodes. Tuesdays are shorter, Thursdays are longer. Every month is a new topic. So definitely do that. And me, I'm Violet Benson. I'm on Instagram, and my book will be coming out hopefully either end of this year or beginning of next year. About dating and mental health. That'll be so fun.
I'm going to for sure be like a forever listener now to the podcast. Maybe. I'm a podcast girly. So.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. That's really nice. Maybe when your book comes out, we can have you back on and you can talk about your book.
Yeah. I love that. Thank
you. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God. Thank you. Oh, I was like, what are we doing?
You go, huh?
I thought we were done. You can follow us at Straight Candid Podcast. Feel free to leave a review, rate, and subscribe. I am at Candid Soph.
I'm at Candid Sid. And we love you guys, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Thanks, Violet. Bye. Thank you, Violet.
All right. Oh, my goodness.
I love that. Oi, right? Oi.